April meeting to order. I will do a roll call. If each of us could use our mics and just check in with your name, and that way we do have a forum. So first of all, let me start and see, is there anybody on the phone?
Yes, Vice Chair Fisher is joining us by phone tonight.
Okay, I'll start.
Audie Singh present.
Michael Kane present.
Verily Isaacs present.
Gordon Yamate present.
Carmen Lowe present.
Anne Lamborn present.
Greg Gentile present.
Terrific. Thank you.
Diane Fisher present.
Okay, thank you. Diane, are you in Denver?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you're coming through loud and clear, so hope things are good there. Let's go ahead and let me see if there are there any is there any public comment before we begin things for things not on the agenda. Seeing none, let me go ahead and close public comment. And the first item of business will be consent items. We have a draft of our minutes for our March meeting in the materials. Before I ask for any questions or comments on those, let me ask if there's any public comment regarding the minutes. Seeing none, public comment is closed. And let me, are there any changes, corrections to the minutes of our March meeting? Seeing no comments, may I ask for a motion to approve our March meeting minutes?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Thank you. That was a...
I'm sorry, can the motion please be stated by the maker of the motion?
Yes.
Thank you.
I move we approve the minutes as submitted.
I second the motion.
Okay. Let me go ahead and call for the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay.
Chair, if I may,
yes.
We do have someone on the phone, so we
need
to do a roll call vote.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead and do a roll call vote. Just state your name and aye or nay.
Audie Singh, aye.
Michael Kane, aye.
Verily Isaacs, aye.
Gordon Yamate, aye.
Carmen Lowe, aye.
Anne Lamborn, aye.
Greg Gentile, aye.
Terry Fisher, aye.
Okay, the minutes are approved unanimously. Let's move to our next item, which is item two, discussing potential participation in the town's 4th of July Symphony in the Park event. And let me turn first to staff. I know you folks prepared a memorandum on this, just to brief us on this, but anything else to add to the memo?
Thank you, Chair. Sure, I can give a brief overview of the staff report.
Sure.
So this item is regarding potential DEI commission participation in the town's 4th of July Symphony in the Park event. So just a quick recap, Symphony in the Park takes place on July 4th. It's at Oak Meadow Park between about 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. This event features the San Jose Wind Symphony, food trucks, a beer and wine garden, and there are kids' activities, examples being crafts, bounce houses, face painting, that type of thing. The town is inviting all of its boards and commissions to participate in this event with a booth, featuring either a game, an activity, a craft, or some type of community engagement activity. If the commission decides to participate, commissioner volunteers would need to arrive between about 8:30 and 9 that morning and would stay until the event concludes at about 1 p.m. The town would provide a table, tent, and chairs, and the commission would provide any other supplies or activities, including any setup that would be related to the activity. the DEI Commission's budget for the 24-25 fiscal year has $1,906.56 remaining in it. So that amount would be good through the end of June. If the DEI Commission decides to participate in this event, I'd just like to draw your attention to the items on page 2 of the staff report. The commission would need to identify one or two commissioners to assist with setup, assign commissioners to man the booth during the event, identify one or two to assist with cleanup, and determine any materials that the commission would like to display or distribute or give away at the booth. That concludes the report. Thank you.
Are there any questions for our commissioners?
Yes. Chairperson, I do. Two questions. When they say we're providing the tent, the chairs, the table, is there also a banner? Do we have a banner?
We do have a banner.
So that will be included?
The commission has a tablecloth that has the town logo and says DEI Commission on it, and that would also be provided at the booth.
Tablecloth on the top. I was thinking of something in the front.
So the tablecloth, it's the same one that was used at Spring Into Green. It's all green. It covers the table and kind of goes down to the floor in the front. And so it kind of acts as a banner because the whole front of the tablecloth has the DEI Commission's name very big and the town logo. But if the commission is interested in other banner options, that's definitely something that, you know, the commission could do.
Okay. My second question. The report says commissions would need to provide any additional supplies, activities, or games bringing outside the booth of supplies noted above. It says commission will provide. Then later on it says any materials would need to be purchased by the town staff consistent with the budget. So I asked staff about that. I see a little bit of a conflict. And the answer I got was I can bring any related approved items to the event. I'm guessing I could bring anything I wanted to, tiddlywinks, games, balloons, but that after the event, I have to take them back with me. So what I'm saying to the commission is, if anybody has ideas about things they'd like to lawfully provide at the event, I'd be willing to assist in the expense.
If I could also clarify, I see what you're saying in terms of the report. I think what was intended was, it was trying to distinguish between like what the town is providing to all booths. So all booths get a table, they get X, Y, Z, and the those manning the board or staffing those booths would then have to supply these other things, including, you know, whether it's a game or other activities, things like that. I think that was the intent. If the commission does want to supply any of those additional things, then yes, you can authorize the use of the budget and staff will procure them accordingly.
Well, that's using the budget. What I just said was I can bring stuff of my own or any other commissioners and then take them away with us at the end of the event. Like it was some kind of an appropriate short-term kids game. Even if I brought my own face paint.
An example might be the Spring Into Green event. We partnered with them and paid to have those bookmarks made, but we supplied the coloring pens and everything, and then we took them back at the end of the event. So I assume it's something similar.
Actually, you did.
Well, as part of the commission.
So that's what I'm talking about. Anything we can lawfully provide on our own would prevent us from using our budget. Our budget exists until June 30, and then there's a new budget, not yet determined, that goes into effect July 1st. So we've got $2,000 to spend between now and June 30, if that's appropriate. But if we wanted to do something beyond that, we lawfully can do that, as long as it's appropriate and is taken away at the end of the year.
Aside from the stuff or the activities, I think my question is, I had thought that we don't even have a meeting in July because typically a lot of people are out on vacation. Do you know how many people attend the 4th of July event? Especially given it sounds like it's early, so it's not something, you know, that goes into the evening hours and such. So
I don't have those numbers. I'd have to check in with staff and get back to you on that.
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So I wanted to ask if the library is also participating in the 4th of July event.
I also don't have the answer to that. I think right now staff is focused on the planning for Spring Into Green event, which is this weekend, and then we'll focus on the 4th of July event. So I don't think that there's a lot of plans in place, but I don't know. I have to check and get back to you.
Well, so I'll just explain the reason why I'm asking, which is there's a lot of really cute kids books about diversity in the 4th of July, you know, that kind of like inclusive books. And so I was wondering if what our booth could be was like a collaboration with the library that had like a bunch of books on display. And then also maybe since we're talking about having budget that we would be able to use, perhaps we would have some kind of, I don't know, special game or way, and then maybe you can, like, you know, win a book, and we could have a small number of books available, you know, for the winners of a game or something like that, that are, you know, in the same spirit as the kind that the library would put on display.
Okay.
Another question, Commissioner.
I have been to the 4th of July. I guess it's called Festival. And that was several years ago. It was highly attended. I mean, I thought it was several thousand people. And it seems to me that it's an opportunity, given the title of our commission, we should not miss it. We should do it. And one thing I would like to see us have is a really extraordinary brochure that might cost $2,000 to make, but I don't know if that's a waste of money or what, but it could be really good.
Other questions, comments from the commissioners? You know, I will just mention that, by way of background, we did participate in last year's Spring Into Green. That particular event has more of an environmental focus, so, and was running at capacity in terms of booths from the town. So that was, I think we either said that we were not interested in participating again, or, you know, it's not a problem if we're not included in that one. We also participated in the summer movie on the green or something like that, which we did have an activity that Verily organized, and the activity itself went really well. You know, I guess there was some just exposure. I know Commissioner Kane, you know, believes that we ought to have a visual presence in the community. So that's important. I take it that there will be no this is back to staff. I take it that there won't be any program participation by the commission itself, that we would be asked to make remarks or anything like that.
No, I don't believe so. I believe only the mayor makes opening remarks before the Wind Symphony concert.
I am also just aware of one of the critical things is to make sure that if we are interested in doing this, that it is fully staffed. I just know personally that my plans usually are to be out of town on 4th of July. So that's been just a regular thing for the past several years. But if there's interest by members of the commission, then we do have enough commissioners who will be in town and we can figure out what the activity is, then I think it makes sense for us to do it.
Okay.
So, Can I, first of all, get a sense from commissioners who would be available to participate in this? Do we have enough people? So, Michael? Greg? Anne?
Okay. I'm going to make a comment first.
Yes.
Obviously, it's a really great opportunity for some art project, which I cannot quite visualize yet. And I do have a lifetime of supplies that I would really like to share.
Yeah.
An excess amount. And I don't exactly have the right idea, but it would seem that our commission could develop really an extraordinary, powerful idea, and each person could walk away with their own personal work of art. And I am able to supply fabric.
Will you be in attendance?
Will I be in attendance?
July 4th.
I guess I would have to be. I don't have developed a getaway plan yet.
How many have said yes?
Three.
We need more.
Draft commission for Lucky. That's the price of not being here.
No. Okay, we can.
She's busy being
fine. Yeah. I'm just going to put a question mark by her.
I don't know.
I will also be uptown. It's also to be away, but also happy to help with any of the preparation leading up to the event. I'm actually curious whether we can repurpose the bookmarks that we have. I mean, a lot of the work, the art that was created for it is already there, and maybe we can reuse that. I actually really do like Diane's idea about having books. Maybe we can have a little raffle or something. I think that's a cute idea.
Should we check and see? Should we check and see if Diane's available?
She's on the phone.
Yeah, so sorry, there was someone who was also interested in the children's book idea?
Yes.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I was just Googling it since I'm sitting here on my phone, too, and there are quite a number of, like $12 books, that we could acquire that really, show the diversity of America and celebrating the 4th of July. I just think that, my goal in this kind of family event would be to really, hit the kids, the ones that are going to be the next generation, to really lift up this idea that we, our ideas that we, we hope they grow up with. Not that I'm giving up on the parents, but I'm really focused on the kids. So there are quite a number of really charming looking books, and it would be an interesting thing to, sit and chat with someone at the library and see what books they were going to put out for display during the 4th of July. They always have great displays for the holidays. And then, if we have some budget and we want to buy some number of books that kids could take home, I think that's powerful. And I don't have currently any plans to be out of town. So I think I have been out of town, honestly, for a lot of these other events. So I can make this be my commitment.
Okay.
No one else is willing to do it with me.
Yes. Well, we have, with you, Diane, we have four confirmed.
I can join, but I wanted to mention, me and Ryan's terms are going to be ending next month because of youth commission terms, but I think I can still attend just as a member of the public and be a part of this. But I'll let the youth commission know, too. All of our terms end in May, and then don't pick up again until August, but I can send out a memo.
Audience. Okay. Well, we welcome your participation.
I was just going to say, I love Diane's idea about a potential collaboration with the library and or, for your art project, perhaps we can reach out to NUMU and see if there is a project, like when you said you had a lot of fabric, I don't know if it's a statue and it's a collaboration and everybody could add to something that we make or whatever you choose, but maybe a collaboration with NUMU would be cool too.
That's a great idea.
Oh, I wonder if, I remember at the school, we had a cultural event at the school and I thought it was really cool. They had like a huge map and then people put like pins or a little mark of where they're from. I think that could be a really cute idea, especially if we're celebrating something like the 4th of July and it's showing, you know, the fabric of America is really from a lot of different places.
I have a question for the chair or for staff.
Yes.
Commissioner Sable's activities on the Youth Commission end in May. Why would that prohibit her from continuing to contribute to DEI?
She could volunteer.
She could just volunteer, Michael. I don't see this as a problem.
But
once my position ends with the Youth Commission, I think, I mean, this is off topic, but I'm a liaison, so I could just be a part of the public.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
But you're still in the government.
Yeah.
I have another comment.
Yes.
In New Zealand, I was part of a project where the person that was the head of it would have people put their hands on a piece of paper. Let's say it's a piece of fabric, since that's available. And then they'd cut out or they'd draw around their hand. And then the questions are, where are you from? Where are you now? And maybe where do you want to be, something like that. But quit asking questions about their lives. No, but we would formulate our own questions.
Do those handprints all come together as something, or they take that home with them?
It came together as something. There was a little museum called the Museum of the Hand, and that was in Ekatuna, New Zealand.
I think there's some interesting ideas. I love the map idea. I think
I love the map.
Yeah, I think showing that Las Gatos is really diverse and seeing that representation, it might be cool to find someone to, you know, be the liaison with NULU to see if there's an opportunity that we could pull together.
And then another idea is when I used to teach Spanish to enormous classes, one of the first lessons was where were you born? And people had to walk around like they were in a cocktail party and find it. It's real interesting.
Other ideas?
I was just wondering, what list do you have on likely attendees? I have Kane, Lamborn, Fisher.
Yes.
Greg.
Fisher and Gentile?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I'll give up my trip to Maine.
Oh, no. He's thinking it's 8:30
yeah,
till 1.
Still on the planning stage. It's really
So the exact time I don't think has been nailed down for this year, but approximately it goes until 1 p.m. and then the setup is between 8:30 and 9 in the morning. I also wanted to follow up on the question about, we got an answer on general attendance for the event. So typically the range is anywhere between 700 and 1,000. There are some other factors that play into attendance. You know, if it's connected to a weekend or if it's during the week, the temperature. So last year there was a heat wave during 4th of July and the attendance was right around 600 people. And I think this year that's part of the reason why it's a little bit earlier than it's been in the past, just in anticipation of the warmer temperatures.
And for those of you who don't have the calendars out, it actually is a Friday. So that is a long weekend. A lot of people do take off for long weekends. Well, I am seeing we have enough volunteers, I think, to staff this. And I think with the additional help between now and the event itself, other commissioners are available. So. If it's the will of this commission, I think we ought to elect to participate and perhaps have those four of you who are definitely available will establish a subcommittee to work out the logistics and the activity itself that you'll engage in. And we can come back in our May meeting with sort of helping define this, and then that will give us enough time, I think, to have things ready for the fork. Does that sound a good idea? See people nodding their heads. Would you like a motion for us to participate? Okay.
Yes, please. And also, I don't think we've opened public comment on this item.
I think you're exactly right. Let me ask right now, is there any comment from the public? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Okay, may I entertain a motion from someone to have us participate in this particular event, and then I think we would want to include in our motion the appointment of a subcommittee consisting of our four commissioners who have indicated their availability to be there on the 4th. Would someone like to make that motion?
Do you want those as two separate motions?
I think you could put them together.
Yeah.
I would just clarify that it's an ad hoc.
It's an ad hoc subcommittee. Okay, so I move for the DEI Commission to participate in the town's 4th of July Symphony in the Park event, and for us to create an ad hoc subcommittee to be able to plan for the event. The subcommittee to include Commissioners Kane, Jadil, Fisher, Lamborn. Period.
Do I have a second for that motion?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Okay, any further comments or questions on this?
We will need to start planning. And that means the ad hoc committee needs a chair. And I think Vice Chair Fisher would be wonderful in that capacity.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, let me go ahead and call for the question. All those in favor, let's see, we'll need to do a roll call again because we have people on the phone. I'll start with you, Diane.
Okay, Diane Fisher, aye.
Anya Singh, aye.
Commissioner King, aye.
Marilyn Isaacs, aye.
Gordon Yamate, aye.
Carmen Lowe, aye.
Anne Lamborn, aye.
Greg Gentile, aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. So we have the work plan item for next month's meeting. Okay.
I just had one more comment. Would it be helpful, because I don't know if everyone on the commission has access to the bookmark that you previously made. Would it be helpful to, would we be able to circulate that to everyone so they have it?
I have the leftover, so we can certainly bring all of the leftover bookmarks from the commission's participation in the Screen on the Green event. I have the bookmarks, the tassels, markers, I have all of those items, so we could bring those also if the commission's interested in also having the bookmark. I can also bring hard copies of the bookmark to the next meeting if the commission's interested in looking at them again.
About how many do you think you have?
Roughly. There are quite a few.
Great.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few.
Because that in tandem with the book idea would be so cute.
It's so cute.
Good point. Okay, thank you. Let's move on to the next item of business, which is to basically have a discussion on our listening campaign to various sectors in the community. Let me ask if there's any public comment for item 3 of our agenda. Seeing none, public comment is closed. And let me mention, I have put an inquiry out to Jennifer Lynn, who heads up the Chamber of Commerce, just to weigh in on her sense of whether she's getting any sense from chamber members that, at least in the business community, DEI is somewhat of a, there may be some reluctance to publicly or even privately discuss matters relating to that, despite personal feelings about it, just given the current climate. I know that, as I mentioned earlier, I had reached out to the town's, I think, the largest private employer in the town of Los Gatos, and asking for a meeting and explaining what the listening campaign was about, and have not gotten any response to that. So I just think that sort of tipped me off that, you know, the timing may not be particularly good for that particular sector, but I am trying to just get more feedback from Jennifer Lynn. The other item I would mention is that I did pull the attachment to, it was actually about a year ago when staff and members of the commission put together suggested parties or companies, for example, that we ought to be contacting, or companies suggested to be contacted. I actually took a look at those, and what was interesting is that in the materials, the businesses that were listed actually were identified as sort of pro-DEI. This is, I'm not sure how we made the decision so fairly. If you could maybe expand on that a bit and maybe give us a little more background on how the list was created.
Sure. So I think you all recall that we participated in United Against Hate the first year we did the march. The second year we did a campaign that I participated in. We went to retail establishments and restaurants downtown asking them to display a poster in their window and perhaps do a writing campaign, "I Stand United Against Hate Because." And these businesses all supported that effort. And so that's why they were added to that list, because there are businesses in town that don't want to participate. So I thought it was important just to not lose sight of those that did.
Are you suggesting that these would be perhaps useful companies to reach out to them?
I think it depends on what we were asking of them, and certainly things change. It's been a couple of years, but I think what I wanted to make sure we were all aware of is at one point in time here in Los Gatos, these folks stood up and displayed in their retail store windows United Against Hate, you know, posters, and actively participated in a campaign. So I think it would all depend on what we create and what we ask them to do.
So just for everybody's information, the businesses that were listed, I can just kind of go through them really quickly. We Olive, this is Amanda Sarich. Okay. And I was just gonna throw out ideas of, you know, should we actually, you know, at least focus on the companies that are have indicated in the past that they're supportive of DEI initiatives. I'd be curious just to have comments on that.
We prepared that list a while ago, but I recall trying to look up business associations that were specifically targeted to specific demographics. And I'm curious whether it would be helpful to reach out to those business associations and those groups as opposed to individual businesses, because they might have more insight into what these businesses are feeling and thinking, but maybe a step removed, so that specific businesses don't have to feel like they have to make public statements about where they stand on things.
Right.
The one thing that I will call out is my hope is that we continue to participate in United Against Hate. I believe the event this year, I think that the date continues to move, but I think it's September. I know that I connected with the library just this last week, and they are absolutely participating, and I gave them a bunch of supplies. Should this committee do something, you know, to support the United Against Hate effort, then you might look at that list. But to Carmen's point, I think it's all based on you know, I think the context of what it is that we're asking them, that list is probably appropriate if this committee decides to try and get, you know, involved in a United Against Hate effort. But other than that, I wouldn't necessarily focus on that.
Well, I think that we're just having a conversation with folks based off of questions that we had previously drafted, right? Like, how are you feeling about the general space? Like, are there ways that you feel like you could be more supported by the town and by the commission in these efforts regarding DEI?
Yeah, in our materials, we actually do have specific questions that we're following, and in my communication to Jennifer, for example, I pointed out to her that we're not trying to impose any sense or standard or construct for what companies ought to be doing. That's not our role, but it was really to, you know, let them be the ones raising the questions, the issues, and really it's more to what is it that the Town of Los Gatos can do to support efforts that your company feels are a priority. So that's the gist of it. I'd like to just turn back, because I think your comment is very well taken in terms of identifying specific businesses that we go to business organizations. Associations, for example, the chamber makes sense, the Los Gatos Chamber of Commerce. The other chambers, and this kind of came up when we were talking about religious organizations, the other organizations are more regional based, the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce, Filipino American Chamber of Commerce, Silicon Valley Vietnamese American Chamber of Commerce, etc. And my sense is that what we were looking for then is, well, is there any of these organizations that actually have a physical presence in Los Gatos, just a more tangible tie to the community? I think that was something I know when I had discussed religious organizations with Vice Chair Fisher that, you know, for the interfaith convening, this is something that is open to, you know, religious organizations within the town of Los Gatos, and that's what we were focusing on, as opposed to going outside the community, even though there are obviously practitioners, members of faiths, you know, that live in Los Gatos but go to an organization.
Yeah, that's a very valid point. I don't know, but I'm curious whether, I know time is very limited, but I can imagine a conversation with them to see, maybe an initial question could be whether they feel like, you know, they have an interest or they have any comments about the town in particular, before, you know, taking up anybody's time. But I would also be curious to see if they see any sort of patterns of maybe there's some difficulties with, you know, certain folks who are part of their membership in getting business licenses in the city, and maybe we would want to know about that.
Okay. Jim, too.
Jim, can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
I don't know if you want to approach it this way. I know that when Vera Link and I were doing things with United Against Hate, I did give a presentation to a group through the chamber, and it felt like it was really hard for people to speak up. People just listened politely, and then I went home, and it wasn't very satisfying. And I'm wondering if you want to kind of be a little more grassroots about it, and just maybe start with a half a dozen businesses on the list that Verily provided to folks that were interested in the past, and like invite people to some kind of coffee somewhere in town and just have a conversation with the, you know, the questions that we have devised by our commission, but just kind of start the conversation small, you know, and not necessarily institutionally, but just amongst businesses in town who want to have that conversation. It's just a thought because the kind of work I've done more is more focused on grassroots efforts like that, and you can build up a lot through, you know, small integral, you know, conversations, I think.
I like that approach, and, you know, something in that conversation with a particular business might be something that others would have an interest in that we could then bring that to the commission and then see if, you know, these are suggestions that maybe would be of help to, you know, our local Chamber of Commerce.
Right. You keep bubble up, but I think starting kind of more grassroots with folks who are identified as open to the conversation could be a better way to start.
Okay. Commissioner King?
I wanted to underscore what you said earlier about not telling people what to do. As the vice chair just pointed out, the questions are innocuous. It's what can we do for you, not what you have to do. And if we stuck to that script, and when I interact with employers in my building around town, I stick to the script of asking them what we can do. And there's four questions, and there's nothing in there that's pointed or suggested or anything. It's what can we do? Second point I wanted to make is when we talk about the chamber, I served on the Chamber Board of Directors twice. It's a good group, and you know the new chairperson, what's her title?
Executive
Director. What about seeing if we could, some of us, get invited to a board meeting, a presentation, like we did to Democracy 10?
Yeah.
If we agree
that
that's something we want to do, can you ask her?
Yeah, definitely. I'm hoping that I'll get, you know, a favorable response from her in terms of just engaging on this topic, her feedback, and then seeing what she thinks about us making a presentation at one of their chamber meetings.
I'd specifically like to address the chamber.
Okay. Yes.
I know that previously we had discussed when we reach out to the community, what do we do with all this information that we gather, right? And the idea was that we create some sort of report in which we can discern some specific actions that, you know, we as a commission and also the town council can do to be supporting members of our community. I remember when there was some meeting where when we approach folks, we do have to be open and honest to say, you know, we're having this conversation with you. We are a member of the DEI Commission, we come in our personal capacity, but the things that you share with us will be in public, right, as part of the next agenda or whatever report that we're making. To get clarification on that, are we, you know, for people who share with us, do they have to be identified by name and title, or like how? I feel like we might get asked. I'm just curious, you know, can we say something like we are hearing from members of, you know, the business community in Los Gatos X, or do we have to say I heard from this person?
So I think if you have a conversation with someone and you write a report with just high level themes, that would be the document. But any, you know, emails or text messages or any types of, you know, those communications could be made accessible upon a public records request. So it's just important to keep that in mind. And assistant manager may have something else to add.
I think you covered it pretty well. You know, there are a variety of things that could become records. I think rather than the records aspect, you're asking what needs to be provided back to the full commission. I think you can use your discretion in how much detail to provide.
I think it's a point very well taken. I think I would not expect us to identify specific individuals because I wouldn't want them to feel that, you know, they would be, in essence, targeted, for lack of a better term, by virtue much for participating, but I think we can certainly reference the fact that, you know, we talked to a number of small to medium-sized businesses on the retail level, for example, and these are some of the suggestions and comments that they provided. That feedback, I think, is still very valuable, and it's something that we can then pass along in our report to the town council.
Through the chair, we have an example. In item three, Commissioner Cummins, I don't know who wrote this, but it was, the first time I read it, I thought it's reasonably innocuous. You're not saying anything, committing anything, and I don't know who was at the meeting. I don't know how many people, you talked to one person or 40. It was unconcerned, but it wasn't more specific. Not that Bob said this or that, but who was there in attendance for blah, 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 and what was discussed was, but not who said it, but who was at the meeting? That's what I'd like to do with the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who was at the meeting? As we did with Democracy 10. We made presentations, we answered questions. The way this report is written, there's this reluctance of the school officials to commit or engage anything. So again, I don't know who did it. I don't know if this was an ad hoc subcommittee, but it doesn't tell me anything. And I'd like, if we have these meetings in the future, a little more specificity.
Yeah, I read the same reports, and actually I thought there was valuable information communicated. Basically that, you know, the schools have their programs, they're addressing them on their own, and I think the conclusion was, at this point, they didn't see any particular need to, you know, have a town involved.
I do not disagree, I just don't know who they are. You said they, and it says Los Gatos, Saratoga, Unionized. Who are
well,
they?
We can get that. I think these are just notes from the meetings, and I think the subcommittee would need to go back, or someone would need to go back and just sort of formalize the presentation.
Okay. Thank you.
If I may offer some clarification,
yeah.
So that document was sent via an email. So if there was a public records request for the email containing that document, then that information would be accessible to the public. So I just want to clarify that even if it's not published in the report, it's still the documents may be made publicly available upon request.
All I'm saying is without names, anybody could have written it. Could actually be fiction.
I mean, I think the students made clear that these were notes from a meeting that they had. I think Hung and Ryan, or maybe it was just Ryan.
I did not know that.
I can clarify. Yeah, so we mentioned vaguely that we were talking with the president of the board as well as district officers for the LGSU HSD school district. I don't think we included the names. I don't think we have a recording as well that I think we could provide if we requested that identifies all the people we were talking to. So it's not like any of the fabrication stuff. We clarified all of that. I think we just chose to omit the name when we were writing this, but I think, you know, if we have issues with that in the future, we can change how we write reports. Yeah.
Who's there to do the talking? Another thing that was missing from the gentle approach of this note and other references to us tonight, we talk about safety and security and the student-led organizations doing that. Nowhere did I see anything addressing about recourse. Like if a student is accosted racially, sexually, whatever, where do they go? What do they do? What are the resources? Where's the safety zone? Where literally is the safety zone for a student who has to undergo that kind of verbal treatment? But, or even an employee. I don't see the recourse. I don't know if we're supposed to see the recourse. I don't know if we have a recourse. But it seems word innocuous comes up again without any viable protection when and where appropriate. Rather than just say safety, what would that person do? That's what I'm driving at.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that the nature of our inquiries are to elicit that kind of information.
We have to know.
Well, I mean, if it's volunteered by the organization or the company or. But that's one thing. But the Again, I'm not so sure that's within the scope of our inquiry.
What do we have here in town? We're a town employees.
Well, we can ask that.
HR? Where's the safety zone? That's all I'm saying. Because there's a lot of fear out there right now, especially with ICE activities and all the things that are coming down. And I know of people, and other commissioners, who know of people who are not leaving their homes anymore. Where's their safety zone? That's all I want to know.
I have a question about, you know, our four questions that were created and talking to schools. We know that, you know, some of our commission members have already, you know, done an interview process. Can we go back to the same folks, you know, with these four questions, you know, and ask? And I personally, I mean, I think we all know of some incidents in our schools. I know we don't want to push too far or ask too much, but I certainly have things that I would love to ask, and some of them might perhaps lead to, you know, how do our students feel safe, or how would we deal with that? So I guess I just want some clarity on the opportunity to perhaps interview the same people that have already been interviewed. We can ask the four general questions, but is there an opportunity to have a little bit more of a discussion based on, you know, things that are out there in the news?
I'm going to direct that inquiry to staff at this point.
So the way I'm going to answer that is, you know, we have these kind of these questions that have been thoroughly reviewed. As long as you're asking those questions, I don't think anything precludes you. There was no limitation into how many times you can talk to a person.
Right.
I don't think that that is an issue. Just be mindful that there is at some point a sunset to this ad hoc committee, and just keep that in mind.
And my. I'm aware of that.
The June 18th meeting.
Yeah, that would be the last that we would have formally have the subcommittees, but my understanding is that it doesn't mean the work of this, of the commission on these topics ends. It just means the subcommittee ends.
Right, correct.
Yeah. You know, what I am sort of hearing, and maybe what might be helpful, I'd like to. In taking sort of the suggestions that have been made, for our May meeting, I would like us to, I'd like staff to maybe recirculate the list of contacts, suggested contacts, you know, from the standpoint of businesses, schools, et cetera, religious groups, et cetera. It's item, it was item six of our April meeting last year, so it's about a year ago. So if you could just pull that, I believe that's the last time we actually had the list put together. If you could pull that and circulate it along with for this particular item for our May meeting agenda, what I'd like to ask then is once commissioners have identified or have reviewed that list, if there are particular companies that you may be familiar with or have a relationship with people working there or something, we can talk about maybe initiating sort of this grassroots approach to contacting them. With respect to broader-based chambers of commerce, I think the inquiry makes a lot of sense because there may be something that views they may have about the town of Los Gatos, which would be helpful to know about and then figure out what we could do about that. I'm wondering if, you know, if that's something we ought to initiate now or maybe get some guidance from our local chamber on that. Not that it's necessarily, you know, that shouldn't really persuade us one way or the other. I mean, we ought to just, I'm just looking at it from the standpoint of getting input.
What Michael said actually brought up a question in my head.
what you said about, you know, what are the schools, what are we doing as a town for safety? I think this goes to the next action item.
Yes.
I understand that. But I also, I think that there is some overlap here. Well, so I recently spoke with someone who manages a business, but the business itself is not located in Los Gatos. But they had a lot of questions, and they run a restaurant, and you know, there's a lot of other local restaurants around where they've been talking, and they had a lot of questions and concerns about, yeah, like, what do we do if ice comes knocking? What do we, you know, how can I protect my employees? How do I know my rights about this? I also recently heard that, you know, there was someone in, who I know who lives locally in Los Gatos, who teaches at a local university, and ICE had stopped in one of their colleagues' office and asked about their students. So I think that there is a lot of fear going on in the community. It touches the community really heavily. So I don't know what exactly we can do about it, but Michael, your point is well taken in that I'd be interested to hear, you know, if people in the community and the businesses and the others also have these concerns, and I wonder if we can, right, we can do something about being a resource, or we, you know, making statements that really solidify that we're doing everything we can to make this be a safe space.
I would call it access to resources. But first we have to know what those resources are, so we can provide access to people that are concerned or just want to know or fear. What is the access to resources?
I'm going to say that my son's college put out a wonderful letter from the president, and it outlined resources and what they could do. And I thought, wow, what amazing leadership. I think, you know, that perhaps I'd love to suggest, you know, to our town leaders, you know, that, and maybe we need to do the due diligence to show how many people are concerned and what is happening, you know, but we would love to, I would love to see our town put something out on their website as a leader of what we could, you know, what resources we have.
Yeah, I think we've asked over and over and over again. And that was part of the motion to the town, which has not been picked up to be discussed at a town council meeting.
I wanted to add, in addition to the resources, it would be great to know what everyone's rights are. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, and a lot of people are not educated enough on what they are entitled to. So if someone does come knocking to your door, what can you say? And if you're not a citizen, if you have a visa status, where do you land and what your rights are in that instance? I don't think there's enough information out there yet. A lot of people aren't educated. So if we could, I don't know if this falls under our duty, but if we could publish a resource list and something along the lines like, if this happens, these are people you can reach out to, and these are your rights.
So I'm almost wondering if the committee puts together a draft, perhaps, to get the ball rolling on what it is that we're looking for and what it would look like and the contents that it should include. And then that goes before town council. I don't know. What do you think about something like that?
You know, my sense is that this definitely falls within item 4 of our agenda. I like, you know, the ideas that we're coming up with here. And I think it's worthy of us giving, you know, that this commission gives more thought to that. Verily, do you still have that letter, or did you find that?
I'm good with it, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure it's asking. I'm sure I can find it.
Okay.
I'm so sorry,
Cameron. Well, let me see if I, just because we're still on item 3.
Can I just add something on item 3 before we ended? Just an update on the religious subcommittee.
Yes.
We have a Los Gatos meeting coming up on April 30th with all the interfaith and religious institutions in Los Gatos. And I can send you the information. It's at 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. At Skyline Road in Los Gatos. It's Skyline Community Church. April 30th from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m.
I don't know if it was, but but we are, Diane has, Vice Chair Fisher has been working with the organizers, and we'll actually have a physical presence at that meeting, so.
I'm definitely going to be there, but I'd love other members of the subcommittee to also join.
We just have to be careful about not having too many.
No, I think that it will just be two people. I don't know if you can hear me, but I just believe Chuba and Gordon are the only two people that will be physically present at the meeting, and I'm hoping to be able to Zoom in. But that is that's all.
And Diane, Gregory Gentile mentioned that he might be available to attend in person too, but I think we're still below the quorum.
I had a quick admin question about this. I don't know, Holly, if you can help me. I'll be attending the meeting on behalf of my organization. Is there a conflict of interest there if I also put on the DA hat as well, or should I? And they know that I serve both the organization and on the council here, but.
That is a great question. I think just for the sake.
Can you speak into the microphone a little bit more clearly? I couldn't hear the question, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ken. I'm just wondering, because I'm part of the Interfaith Committee as part of my organization, on behalf of my organization, WBMA. So I just wondered if there's a conflict of interest if I also go as a DNA commissioner.
Sorry, is there a conflict of interest because you have two roles at that meeting? Is that what you're asking?
No, so I work at a religious organization, WBMA, West Riding Muslim Association, and I'm part of the Interfaith Community on behalf of that organization. So we've been meeting regularly, and I've always just represented WBMA, but now if I'll be going as a DEI commissioner, I was wondering if that's a conflict of interest.
Okay, so to get a scientific answer to that, I'd have to ask other people, but what would be best in my advisement to you is to only come in one capacity. So either have someone else from your other organization represent your other organization, or to just represent that organization yourself and not represent the DEI Commission, just to make it very clear for everyone what role you're representing.
Okay, that's good, thank you.
My understanding is that given the issue of speaking on behalf of any authority is that we're all attending these in our own individual capacities. My sense is that if Tuba indicates, if there's full disclosure, everybody will know what affiliations that you have, and if you wanted to state that I am participating specifically, though, on behalf of my religious organization, and bringing that viewpoint to this meeting, I think that would be actually really helpful. Again, I think from our standpoint, what we had planned to do was just give a brief overview of what this commission does, but use our four inquiries to just get information from the participants. That was really the whole purpose of this. And
so just to clarify, when I go to a meeting and I say I'm representing WBMA in my workplace, I would love you to ask the board questions or contribute to that. Someone else like Diane or someone would be doing that. I won't be able to make comments on that?
No, you can't. I think you can make comments on that on behalf of your organization. What your organization's view would be, you would probably not be asking the questions.
And then will I report my findings back here when we discuss it? Will I then have to do it as a public comment, or would I be able to contribute as part of the commission?
I think you can contribute that as part of the commission, to be honest with you, because you were there. But I think the subcommittee itself will collectively put the information together.
Sounds good, thank you.
Right, I would imagine that when the report out comes to this full body of the commission, hopefully other members of the commission that were there can speak on this is what we heard, generally speaking, or this is what we heard from this organization that you might have been representing. And that would just be easiest so that you don't have to feel awkward in any way, shape, or form. It's just, you know, even if there isn't a definitive conflict or anything of that nature, it's just nice to have that clarity and that.
Yeah, I think the you know, in terms of conflicts, you know, conflicts are always going to be there in some form or another. The key is really disclosure, just so that people know who, you know, who you're representing and who you're planning to speak on behalf of. And I think you'll be fine. I would welcome your participation.
Thank you.
Okay. So with that, I don't. Do you need a motion for this? Okay. So for our next meeting, we will get this list. We'll take a look from the standpoint of pursuing this on a sort of a grassroots, I like that term, more informal basis in terms of contacting some of the companies that may be interested in sharing thoughts with us. Vis-a-vis the other business associations, the chambers, Carmen, I think you're on our committee. We can talk about maybe dividing those up and just inquiring, making, you know, calling them and seeing if they're interested in talking to us about this.
Michael, too. I'm calling the chamber leader. Trying to get in, right?
Oh, I've already made the inquiry for our chamber here. Even.
Yes.
Yeah, we're on our way there.
Okay.
I will call on you if I need more help. Okay, I think that kind of concludes our discussion on item 3. Does anybody have anything else they wanted to add or questions? Okay, let's move on to agenda item 4, which we kind of broached a bit, but let me first of all ask if there's any public comment on item 4, which is our discussion of coming up with ways that our commission can make the equity issues that matter to a larger community much more visible. Seeing no public comment, I'll go ahead and let's go back to this idea then of I liked what I was hearing from the standpoint of this is an opportunity for the town to take a leadership role in being sensitive and responsive to the concerns of a broader population within the town of Los Gatos. Let's get some meat around the bones on this one. So
I'm just thinking, when you make reference to the town, I didn't see it that way. All this discussion of promote the safety. Provide the safety. And again, I wrote down access to resources. Where is it? When you talk about the town, Chair, the town appointed us to do stuff and to assist them within whatever boundaries they've given us to conduct ourselves. And I haven't read anything that we can't identify safe, that we can't provide access to resources. And that's exactly what this whole point is about. There's no point in talking about promote safety. There's stuff going on, and people need protection. And I'd like to know how we can find out those resources, and how we can provide access. And then tell council as appropriate, this is what we're thinking of doing.
Well, what's your idea? Guys, I feel like we've talked about this for a few times now. And I think we've talked about having the, you know, that the town council should make a statement. We've made a motion on it. We've requested to see where they wanted us to take that direction, and we haven't heard anything back. So outside of that, I'm curious whether you have other ideas.
Town attorney, what's the law? What can protect these people, and that needs to be just stated to create some sense of calmness that there's someone here for them. I don't think they feel that way right now, but But if the town attorney could give legal guidance on what we can and cannot say and can and cannot do and where these resources are, that's what I'd like to know.
Like guidance to us? What do you mean? To us as a commission?
Say again?
To us as a commission? Or?
Yes.
But, sorry, how I see it playing out is that the town puts, you know, some statement out, and then there's a link to all these resources. And for community members to find that stuff, it has to be on a public website where people would logically go, hey, I'm worried about this. Where should I turn? And that's why the town, in my eyes, plays a leadership role. We need to know that it's on their website.
So, recently I was in Woodland, and a friend of mine is a very senior Hispanic person, and he was talking to me about the little red business cards that they have. And he gave me a few of them, and I don't know exactly where they are, but I will find them. And on the business cards, basically names of attorneys that would instantly be available in this safety type of situation we're talking about. And of course, in a place like Woodland, it's a pretty big issue.
I believe that those are the red cards. They're put out by the NIJC.
Okay.
I'm sorry, the IRLC, Immigrant Resource Legal Center. But I think it's a great idea to link to resources. I don't have my lawyer hat on right now, but I do look at these issues very closely. And the only thing I caution is that, you know, not all rights groups are in agreement about what the right thing to do is because of the volatile situation that we are in, and also the changing landscape. I think it's a great idea. I think that we need to make a statement to show where we stand, that we will not be using resources to assist in any way to target people, to help, you know, the federal authorities targeting people. But I do think that the link and access to resources is very difficult, because even the specialists, like the constitutional law specialists, the immigration law specialists, the criminal law specialists, are not necessarily in agreement. And that's been very difficult and has made, it has compounded why this is so volatile and dangerous. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be doing anything.
The last time we talked about this, we also mentioned the Las Gatas Anti-Racism Coalition and the resources that they have shared. I wonder if we were to perhaps put some kind of a draft together and, you know, maybe partner with them on some inclusion. But hearing your last advice, knowing...
It's not advice.
Well, that we want to be very careful about what we're including is what I'm referencing. I don't know, I just think that if we could put something together and then put that in front of City Council, perhaps we can move the needle on this issue.
Would it be inappropriate to invite a representative from the group to come and tell us what they're doing?
Well, I think part of the complexity of your request is that it would force us to ask, you know, figure out what the questions would be, number one, and then make sure that we have an inclusive list of all of the possible resources that they would turn to. I am not sure that, and this is not something that one attorney has in their head and can do that. That's not how the world works.
I need to know where the harm is in inviting people from groups such as this to come and tell us what they're doing.
Well, I think that they, as Marilee is saying, they are compiling resources. I guess it depends on what information you're looking for, right? Like, if so, if they, I'm sure that they can come and tell you, we are compiling resources and this is what we found. But if you're wanting to put on or like have more understanding about know your rights information, or like what do you do if ICE comes to your table, like those are, that's going to be different people with different advice to you.
I guess I was thinking, since we have so many speakers that can take up so much time, it'd be nice to have someone here address us on what they're doing. And it wouldn't have to be just in one group. We could invite others to tell us what they're doing. So it's a learning thing. We're not telling them anything. We're listening to what they're doing.
My question is, what are we going to do with that information once they tell us? What action are we going to take with that?
I'll know more than I do now. I might be able to give some advice, lawfully, properly.
I think that there's also an opportunity for you to join this organization and get on their email list, and then you might be able to advocate when people come to you, you know, some of the information they're sharing, and I would be happy to share that with you.
Yeah. I think we would also previously discuss partnering up with local non-profit organizations and seeing if they're doing events and we can sort of tell them with them. I was wondering if there's a right way to find out, like, do we do a call out, or is there a way to find out what's really happening and how we can sort of contribute to that? For example, I know WPMA, we're doing what do you do when you're traveling? And you're saying, like, there's a workshop that's happening in May. That's something that my organization is doing, but I don't know if there are any other workshops happening with similar themes.
I think that there are local organizations that are doing, say, workshops to like local businesses. You know, like if you own a local business and ICE comes knocking on your door, here are some things that you can do.
So maybe we could get that information and promote that, and so people at least have access to these workshops.
I do think it has to, so I think all of this is, we should definitely do that, and you know, we can advocate that the town uses its platform to be, you know, disseminating this information, but it sort of falls, sort of does nothing if there's no overarching message about why we're doing it, and just an understanding of where the town stands.
And where the town can stand.
So one of the suggestions was to pull this letter and use that as a basis to gather ideas about what it is we could say in this. And then it's one thing for us if we have our own connections to resources that we could suggest and bring that to the attention of the town. You know, we have to, I mean, it to me, it's just raising a lot of, it's kind of piecemeal. It's not giving us the full story. And I'm struggling with kind of how, I mean, it's always useful to be able to pass along the right contacts to certain organizations or people doing work in a specific area, but I'm still struggling with whether or not that's going to address the very broad question I think that you asked. And
what's in my hand is ATR, Access to Resources. And as you were speaking, I was thinking, would it be inappropriate, probably is, to invite the town attorney to address us on what the town is doing and what these resources are, if any, and give us guidance on what is and what isn't appropriate. Just the interaction with town folk, civilians, just to have interaction and listen to what people are concerned about. We don't have anybody here. I'd like to promote more activity for folks to be here, listen to what we do, and then we listen to what they care about. And the town attorney can use guidance on that if it's not too late, you know. It's an inconvenient time, perhaps, but I'd love to listen to what can and cannot be done if a town employee got in trouble. or if a non-town employee got in trouble, where could he or she go? I imagine the town attorney would know that, would not have vested interest because she's not a practicing attorney with clients. She could give us an objective lesson. Can it cannot be done? And I'd be impressed to have such a person come and talk to us about things we need to think about and things we don't know, and we could ask questions, if that would be allowed.
I'm going to interpret that as asking staff. And so...
Is there another mic on?
Yeah, sorry, I just turned mine off. What I would recommend, and just because, you know, our town attorney's time is very, very in high demand right now, I don't think that's going to happen. Also, I would highly recommend, but at the core of what you're looking for, it sounds like you're looking for a presentation or some information on Know Your Rights and other elements of that kind. And perhaps, as you were discussing, maybe it's a, you know, asking a nonprofit to provide a presentation, or maybe even I don't want to promise anything, but maybe even the county, they have an Office of Immigration Relations. If you go on the website, they do have a Know Your Rights resources, things of that nature. That might be something that is more directly related to what you're looking for, something that the county is already very much spending resources on and looking into. So we want to leverage that before we kind of dive in with the little resources that we have.
So, I mean, it depends on who you're trying to educate to. Like, if you're just trying to educate yourself about Know Your Rights information, you can Google it. You can go to the ACLU website. You can go to National Immigration Justice Center. You can go to ILRC. There's the, you know, Legal Services of Silicon Valley. They do immigration work. I mean, there's, like, a lot out there. There's a lot out there that you can do to educate yourself. So I guess the question is, I mean, if it's more... You just want to learn as someone who wants to know about what your rights are, that's awesome. But I think that in terms of the commission's time and what the commission can do as an advisory body to the town council, that's much more limited.
You know, I'm still struggling. I'm still struggling with this because hypothetically, someone here in town says, I have a problem with respect to what's going on, and I need to know where to get information. And they go to the town, offices. What would they get? What would they hear? How would they be directed? That's one way of looking at it, in a way.
Yeah, doesn't it depend on what their problem is?
That's the problem.
Yeah, so it's like they come and they're like, I'm getting evicted. Okay, you need a landlord-tenant lawyer. I don't have status. You need an immigration lawyer.
So, that's a really broad area of possible inquiries, and we're not a referral agency here at the town. I don't think it's fair to impose that on the town. But, you know, is there a specific compelling question that an individual would raise and come to the town looking for guidance? Is there something that we can narrow this a bit that would be helpful? So Michael, when you're thinking of, okay, someone's coming to you asking you a question, what do I do? What is that question they're asking? What's the most important one that you think is compelling to address?
Where can I find safety?
From what? Safety from what?
Was ever coming down on them?
Right, but it depends.
It's not just that I want to read books and learn. It's that I want to have an interaction on the record for all of us, and that we could share with council if and when appropriate.
So it sounds like you want to hear from others what is keeping them up at night. It seems like.
Yes, important. And I also want to go back to what the assistant town manager said about time on staff and how their activities are substantial. I worked the last 21 days in a row. I'm in the investment business. I manage other people's accounts. I haven't had a night off or a day off in a long time. But yet I'm here because this is a priority. I should be in bed. But I'm here because this is my priority. I think it's important. And if I can get help from town folks, I'd be grateful. Or just have them interact with us. Make us more viable. That's all I'm saying. I mean no disrespect.
And we definitely appreciate your time on the commission and all of you spending your volunteer hours here with the town and for the town. I'm just trying to explain that I think there are certain groups and even other governmental agencies that are very deep into this work, more so than we are, and they have a deeper expertise than we do, and it might be more effective use of time to go to those sources.
Thank you.
That doesn't negate, I think, where your concern is coming from, which is that I do think that many in the town and in our community are looking for leadership to tell them that we support them and that we accept them in this community.
Yes.
And that even though resources are limited and you know knowledge on our part is limited, what we can to help. I think that's a really powerful statement. And it's one that many other government bodies are making. And that we are not.
The one thing that jumps to my mind is, I don't know, a couple months ago, the Las Gatas Anti-Racism Coalition set up round tables and they came up with a list of topics that they were getting inquiries from the community on, and perhaps with your permission to share that with you, I can get a copy of that. I will ask them.
So I think I think that would be helpful. I appreciate that. So I think it boils down to trying to narrow what it is or how the town could respond. So that we're not, you know, when you talk about safety, that's a broad category of different things that are coming up. And it could be very specific to the particular situation, but are there sort of community concerns that we are hearing more than others that deserve our attention? I'm trying to figure out a way to get us to something so that, you know, again, we're not a referral agency, we're, you know, but we want to be helpful. And how can we best help?
I mean, I do think that immigration is a big one. I mean, we have local schools, students, international students are getting targeted. Their visas are just getting ripped from them. We have ICE stopping at schools, like, you know, that were previously safe spaces, questioning professors and teachers. Businesses are trying to figure out what to do for their, you know, for their own employees. Healthcare, that's a really big one. What can you do to protect your patient safety? I think that's a really big one. At least that's what I'm hearing and feeling from the community.
I'm hearing right now that we have more things to be afraid of than I had been thinking about being afraid of. And just having this discussion, I'm thinking, well, I'm really afraid. I'm afraid to be an artist. I'm afraid to really do self-expression. And I was one day recently in a workshop without an instructor, and I just was doing my own work of what I felt moved to do. And someone came over to me and said, I don't think you should let me see that. And I don't know that I can do the artwork that I want to do. I mean, because I don't think it's safe. Or it's not safe for me. Here I am, just a blue-eyed, blonde-haired person. I'm an American for since the Mayflower, and I don't feel safe.
Sure, your safety
that's
has
not
improved.
Good.
I'm sure your safety has not improved being a DEI commissioner. They don't like us either.
Well, I was a Peace Corps volunteer also 6 years ago. It was not safe either.
Well, I think we have a lot to think about. Discussion was pretty broad and ranging here, so.
I just wanted to ask one brief question.
Yeah.
I feel like to some degree I'm breaking down this more general question about safety for folks can also be broken down into our subcommittees and part of this our listening campaign, because I could imagine if you're speaking with businesses, they can speak, they may raise the discussion themselves. Without our even, you know, directly asking the question, you know, what information do you provide for your employees? You know, do your employees know their rights and so forth? And how are you protecting them? You don't have to ask them this if this is the kind of conversation we're having in this time frame. I think people will speak about those questions, and so I think that some of the information. Staying within the faith communities, you know, whether houses of worship see themselves as having a role in keeping people safe, right? I think these topics will come up in our listening campaign, and it's something that can be in our report that could possibly lead to, you know, further steps once we have some specific comments by people in the different sectors.
Thank you, Diane. That's very helpful. I think we've got a number of things to bring back. We'll revisit this particular item, but I think, you know, sometimes you just need to kind of sit on this and think about it. We're not going to come up with an answer tonight, but I think we've raised some good questions. Okay. Anything else on this particular item? Anything you've been, Greg, I know you haven't, anything that's...
I have nothing to add at this point. The only thing I was mulling about was, has anybody ever reached out to other DEI commissioners in other cities, neighboring towns such as Campbell or Mountain View, Palo Alto? I mean, I'm sure they have commissions or committees set up like ours and see what they do. It might be worthwhile if someone could pick up or assign someone to contact an individual who is involved in those activities to see what they do. And certainly knowledge is good to be shared. We're all sharing the same concepts here at this point. We're all on the same side, I would think.
Isn't there a working group for government employees who operate in the DEI space?
There is. There's a working group that meets quarterly. For other agencies that have similar commissions, there should also be agendas and minutes and you know, all of that publicly available on their website too. So you may not even need to necessarily contact someone. It's just an idea.
When I first started on the commission, I actually did a Google search and looked at other local commissions that focus on DEI.
Yes.
And it's great. You do learn a lot. I think
what I found is a lot of them do focus on hyper local issues, like being part of their local event, things like that. Yeah.
But by the same token, that's what we should be doing too. I mean, in that sense.
Well, I mean,
hyperlocal. I mean, that's.
That is hyperlocal, but I do see that, you know, city councils and town councils are making statements in a certain space,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we do serve as advisors to the city council to be able to, if we have comments on that, we should be able to comment on it.
I just wanted to compliment Commissioner Gentile for the suggestion. I hadn't thought of that. There's a lot of resources right in my backyard.
Well, you know, I sit on the Senior Citizen Commission, and we have gone out and we reach out to other commissions in other towns just to kind of see what they're doing. You know, it's all knowledge. You know, that's what you want to do is find out what other people are doing or other cities are doing.
Well, like Commissioner Lowe, when this commission was formed, I did the same thing. I recall there being, I believe, one commission down in Southern California at a municipal level. And I believe the county has some type of working committee or something that addresses these types of issues. Probably is worth another look.
Especially given the recent events.
I was just saying, I did the same thing, and there weren't as many as you would think, but I think Santa Rosa has one, and I know that Bellarmine, you know, although it's a local school, they also have a DEI commission. So do some of the other local schools around here. They have the DEI commissions just to see what topics, you know, they're looking at would be one aspect. But try Santa Rosa.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because I do think that there are cities and towns where, even though they don't have a specific commission, they do tackle the topics of diversity, equity, inclusion in sort of other ways and other capacities. Like, you know, Santa Clara has an office for diversity, equity, inclusion that I'm sure looks at these issues more closely. So even though, I think it is interesting, you can broaden the search to see, well, what are other cities and towns doing on the topic generally? Even if the commission doesn't exist, it doesn't mean that they're not looking at these issues.
Yeah. Anya, did you have anything you wanted to add to the discussion?
I think that, kind of like what Carmen was talking about, it might not be good to use our resources just to jump in, to add in to the resources that we can have for people who feel unsafe right now. I think it might be better to use our website as like a landing page to share. These are the resources that Santa Clara has put out and things like that. Because that way we're able to use our time a little bit more efficiently for the local issues that we can be a part of.
Okay. Well, on that note, I'm going to turn to the favorite part of the meeting for Mr. Kane, and that is we'll do staff reports and then individual commissioner reports. And these are just reports since our last meeting. What have you been doing? Communications that you've had with others that would be relevant to the commission. So, staff, is there anything that you need to or would like to?
Thank you, Chair. I do not have a report this evening.
I'll start with, let me start with Vice Chair.
The primary conversations that I've had since the last meeting were to arrange our listening campaign with the Los Gatos Interfaith Clergy Group, which I think we've covered, is going to be held a week from Wednesday at Skyland Church. I really have to say that there's been a lot of effort to get this conversation going, so I'm hopeful for the attendance. And really encourage any of the other commissioners who may be connected to houses of worship to encourage their representation to participate in that meeting.
Thank you. I'm just going to add a comment to that because this might be something where Commissioner King might be able to help out. I think the father at your parish had mentioned, I think he had responded on this and said that he had a commitment that conflicted. If there's any way to persuade him to be able to participate, that would be helpful.
It's Father Angelo. I haven't talked to him, but I'll talk about it again.
Okay, Anya?
Okay, I'll keep mine short because I know Commissioner Kane will have a lot to share. So with the Youth Commission, or I'll start with what me and Ryan did. You guys saw our notes from when we met with the school board. We were able to talk with them, and then just a few weeks ago, or I guess last week, I spoke again to a couple of the school board members, and they're looking to set up another meeting with us. We're hoping to touch base on a few more things, and we have our high school's Diversity Week. This week is Earth Week. Next week is going to be Diversity Week. So we're going to bring in students of different cultures and then have a lot of the culture clubs presenting throughout next week. In terms of the Youth Commission, we are holding Spring Into Green. We're going to have a table on Sunday if anyone wants to stop by. Our main things this year have been about nicotine as well as plastics. So we're trying to educate the community on that. And besides that, we're in the process of nominating youth-friendly and environmental businesses.
That's great, Anya. If you get a chance to get everyone on the students together to discuss for Diversity Week, I think members of the subcommittee, education subcommittee, would love to join. Yeah.
And did you say you're going to meet with the board again?
We're going to get in contact with them sometime in the next few weeks to try to talk to them before the year ends. This is a pretty busy time, so we're trying to figure out what everyone's schedules. And in terms of the Diversity Week, that usually happens during our lunchtime, so between like 12 and 12:30. So I'll let you guys know.
I have a quick question. When you say board, are you talking about the board for the Union School District or the other school district, which encompasses the high school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's the Los Gatos Saratoga Union High School District. So that's the high school right here in Saratoga. They're the board that represents both of them. There's also an elementary school district and then the Union District, but there's other groups working.
Okay, someone else is working on the Union School District, the Los Gatos Union School District.
The elementary school and middle school one?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, not to disappoint everyone, I thought we canceled out this portion of the meeting, so the 10 pages I had from prior meetings, I just tossed them in. Now I'm trying to make some notes to not disappoint anybody. I can stop it. Thank you. I sponsor two gala fundraisers at local churches, St. Lucie's and St. Justin's. My company did, and I took the opportunity to pass out a number of cards to the teachers and the principals because they have students who live in Los Gatos as well as attend those schools. Got into a number of businesses, talked to the owners, talked to the employees, especially minority female, and just say, we're here. If you need something, contact us. I've done that around town. I've done that all throughout my building. I do it a lot, but I don't have detailed notes anymore. I threw them away. Probably forgetting a few things.
I attended the hands-off rally with a number of our community members, which was great, and I met up with Jennifer Laredo at the Los Gatos Library, again, just to pass along some United Against Hate materials.
Chair, one other thing. There's an Africa Day gala coming up, being organized primarily by Commissioner Falaki, and again, we've made a donation to get a table. And again, we'll be talking about DEI at that meeting. Thank you.
I just have a couple of things to report. I did attend the Informed Community Book Club meeting of the Los Gatos Anti-Racism Coalition on March 22nd. We discussed the book on tyranny. I will tell you that this is a really good group in terms of just reading something and really understanding it and digesting things. So I recommend people, I know their next one is coming up, scheduled for May. There was an announcement that came out. If anybody's interested, I can forward an email to you, so just let me know. I did meet with our town manager, Chris Constantine, on March 26th, and that was really a meeting to just gain an appreciation of sort of what the priorities are of the town from a town management standpoint, and understanding staff resources and how we can best be, what we can do to accomplish the things that we want to do, and amid other conflicting priorities. I did attend the town meeting with our local representatives, Sam Ricardo and Jimmy Panetta, earlier this week. That was last week, I'm sorry. Just in terms of how we're all dealing with this fear that's out there.
Hi, I don't have a lot to report on. I also attended the town hall with Sam Ricardo and Jim Panetta. It was very enlightening. I introduced myself to Sam Ricardo and just told him about the work that we're doing here. Other than that, I don't have much to report. I'm sure I will next time after the debate meeting.
This is Carmen Law. I have nothing to report for myself.
Anne Lamborn, the Arts and Culture Commission is alive and well, and we will have a call for artists in about 3 years for hopefully a piece of sculpture that will be around $150,000 or $200,000 paid for by the Percentage for Arts program, which was passed in 2022. And so we're just waiting for the money to accumulate in our fund. The money is coming from developers based on the cost, based on the building costs. And it's 1% of the building costs, excluding land. And in our public art, of course, we will include the DEI objectives. And report to the Arts Commission that I am here, and I say that's a good thing to do. Let's see. On the Arts Commission, one of our current projects is to make an arts and culture brochure, which indicates will describe the Percentage for Arts, and we're working on our master public art plan. Which is pretty standard for the communities here in Santa Clara County. And so we're doing it too. Let's see. NUMU is doing a very good job. Silicon Valley Creates is also doing, Silicon Valley Creates is a regional organization for arts. And they are so diverse, it's unbelievable. And it's just exciting that all of this is existing. And then what the Los Gatos Arts Commission is doing, the easy way, we hope, is we're using some little iPads at the library, and we have a survey of what kind of art do you want in the town of Los Gatos. And we don't want paper, we just want to use 3 iPads and the questionnaire on it. And that's the librarian's idea. It was a good idea since we know we can get too much paper. So I was in Philadelphia, and I mentioned that I'm on the DEI commission. And oh, wow. And so that's good. We exist. And so that's something. And then I also was at the board meeting for the Friends of the Museo Ixchel for the Guatemala textiles in Guatemala City. And so our meeting, I already mentioned this, but that was a pretty spectacular meeting with people coming in from all over the place, and just a lot of ideas going on. And just a little information about Central America. There's so much. That's about all I did.
I've just been appointed, or I should say last time I was appointed, to the religious handy group, and I haven't met with anyone yet, and I'm hoping to attend this April 30th meeting. I think it would be a good thing for me to get involved. I certainly would like to talk to some of the religious leaders in the Los Gatos area. I've been a member of the Rotary for years. I used to work at St. Luke's Kitchen on occasion, feeding the homeless in town. It was a long time ago. But as a Rotarian, I'm involved in a number of volunteer activities, including Hungry Home, and I've done that the last two Saturdays. Something I like to do. I work with, I don't know if anyone knows Jeff Blum and Lisa Chrysler, but we go out and we do what we can to help people in that regard, because there is a lot of need in the community. And in addition to that, I am substitute teaching at our local junior high school. I call it junior high school. I'm dating myself now, as well as the elementary school. And hopefully every day or so I'm called, and that's kind of what I do. So as I told Gordon, I have plenty of time on my hands if anyone wants to direct my energies. So just let me know.
Good. Actually, I did have an idea. You mentioned your affiliation with the Rotary. That would be a perfect organization to talk to them about our listening campaign with the four questions and get their feedback.
Sure. I think if someone would like me to do that, other than...
We'd love you to do it.
Yeah. I'm the vice president now, so.
Perfect.
Oh, you're talking
about the board. We're having a board, and we're having a board, and we have our board meeting tomorrow night, so.
Okay. Perfect. Good timing. Okay. Yes, Katie.
And also, just as a friendly reminder, when you are out in the community, just to make sure to assert that, you know, I'm speaking on behalf of myself and not on behalf of the commission, even when it's at, you know, this upcoming meeting and all. Thank you.
Yeah, I always like making that qualifying statement. and then I say, but let me tell you what the DEI commission is doing. It's kind of de-engage in these fictions. Okay. I think that's it for tonight. Thank you all for attending. I'm sorry I didn't give you more time to prepare for your commissioner report.
I know it was coming. I think the commissioner gave a longer report than I had, so I'm off the hook.
Okay. Okay, thank you. The meeting adjourned. Thank you.